Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the replicent light of your truth shines from the mountaintop into our hearts. Transfigure us by your beloved Son and illume the world with your image through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. A reading from 2 Kings. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were there in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them. As they both were standing by the Jordan, then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, a reading from 2 Corinthians. "Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Word of God, word of life.
I invite you to stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one. Jesus ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead could mean. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On the mountain, Peter, James, and John see in a moment of revelation, what the gospel writer has been proclaiming, really shouting from the beginning of the gospel. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God incarnate in the flesh. Already in chapter 1, verse 1, the author of the gospel says, "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." We're told who Jesus is. In chapter 1, verse 11, at Jesus' baptism, we hear a voice from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved." It is the voice of God proclaiming Jesus as God's Son. In chapter 1, verse 24, we meet a man with an unclean spirit who cries out to Jesus, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." In chapter 5, verse 7, one that is referred to as a demoniac cries out to Jesus, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" And now here, in this moment of transfiguration in chapter 9, we hear a voice coming from the clouds again, "You are my Son, the Beloved." Throughout the first 8 chapters of Mark's gospel, the author has been telling story after story, striving to open the eyes of all who are willing to listen to who Jesus is. They are stories about Jesus' life-giving power, his authority, his compassion, and his work of healing and restoration. And now in chapter 9, as chapter 9 opens, as the curtain falls, the author declares, 6 days later. The author doesn't tell us 6 days later after what event. He simply says, 6 days later. These words are meant to ignite within you and I, within the hearers of this gospel, an understanding that it is time for the birth of a new creation. And it is in that moment that the disciples finally see Jesus for who he is, the Son of the Most High God, the Son of the Most High God who was sent into the world to bring about a new creation, to set the world right, to bring about the will of God upon God's beloved creation, to heal it, to mend it, and to make it a brand new creation. They see the divine light within Jesus. They see the one who was with God in the beginning, in that first creation that was good and very good. And for a moment, they have the ability to hope that something new is breaking forth, is being born. Peter's idea of a new creation is to play it safe. To build there on the mountain, to build a wall, to separate, to seal off the world, and to stay in this holy place. But Jesus' idea of a new creation, Jesus' idea of a new creation is to take the light into the darkness, to come down the mountain, to enter the violent world of Jerusalem, to give up his life in order to ransom all who are held captive to the darkness. 6 days later, it's time for a new creation. Are we there yet? Jesus did his part. He conquered the darkness and set us free to do our part, to follow him. In chapter 8, Jesus declares, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Jesus was heading down the mountain. He was heading into the darkness, carrying the light of God, seeking to bring about new life and a new creation, seeking to transform hearts, to give people hope in the midst of darkness. This community needs that light this week as we grieve our sister Carolyn's death. We need that light. We need that light as we head into the days of Lent, as we make our move, our way to the cross. You see, you and I, as we are connected with Jesus Christ, you and I have that same divine light within us. And Jesus invites us, he pleads with us to follow him into the darkness, to scatter it, to chase it away, to defeat it. In our opening song, Shine, Jesus, Shine, we pray, fill this land with the Father's glory. God, our Father, plans to do that. He plans to fill this land with the Father's glory through Jesus Christ and through all who belong to him, through all who carry the light of God in our hearts and who are called to share that light in the midst of the dark world. This coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and we'll receive ashes and we'll hear those words, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. A reminder that we are and remain part of this old creation, this fallen creation. But it doesn't have to be that way, for we are also children of light. We are children of light who have within us that divine light of God that Jesus received from his Father and that we received from Jesus. It is not an either-or proposition that we are children of this world or children of light, but it is both and. We carry both of those truths within us. We are children of this world, and we are children of God. We are children of light. Today we are witnesses to God's work in Adeline Kathleen's life. God's work to set her free from sin and death, from the darkness of this world. God's work in claiming her as a child of the light. And we know that that work will not be complete until the day of Jesus Christ, when he reveals the fullness of his glory and gathers all people into his light. But until then, Christ will abide in her. God's light will dwell within her, and she will become a child of light, a child of the new creation. What a beautiful gift it is. Ellie Wiesel is a Holocaust survivor, and Ellie tells the story of a prophet who came into a city and delivered his message every day in the marketplace. After a time, his ranting became a fixture of the city's life, and people regarded him with amusement when they regarded him at all. Finally, a young boy, pitying the man, approached him and said, Sir, why do you keep crying aloud like this every day, year after year? The people here will never listen to you. I gave up hope that they would listen to me a long time ago, said the prophet. I go on crying lest I begin listening to them. I go on crying lest I begin listening to them. Friends, this world will tell us, it will tell Adeline that we belong to the world, that everything is the same today and tomorrow, year after year. And we must grab from life what we can get when we can get it. There is no such thing as a new creation, the world will tell us. God's word tells us otherwise. Our experience on the mountain with Jesus tells us otherwise when we see the brilliance of his light and the brilliance of his glory. And today, on this day, after 6 days, this day of new creation, this holy and Sabbath day, we witness God's work in Adeline's life, and we're reminded of God's daily work in each of our lives. To renew that light, to renew that divine spark within us, to give us hope that we might share with others when they face dark times. We have the opportunity as a congregation in these days of sadness to bring words of hope, to bring hugs of comfort, to bring forth the promises of God even as we face death. And God says to each of us, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen.
That God, our light and our salvation, hears us when we pray. Let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. The invited response is, let us pray, have mercy, O God. For the ministry of the church and the gospel, proclaimed in word and deed, for congregations near and far, and for all who show the face of Christ throughout the world, let us pray. For all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, that as Christ was transfigured on the mountaintop, sickness will be turned into health, loneliness into companionship, bereavement into consolation, and suffering into assurance, let us pray. For companions who accompany us on our journeys through life, for this community of faith that supports us, and for guidance during difficult times, that we see the glory of God revealed around us, let us pray. We thank you, Lord, that we live in a country with religious freedom. We can worship in our homes and our churches. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, that we live in a country with political freedom. Every person in this sanctuary can write or telephone our elected officials. We have the choice to obtain face-to-face time with our legislators, with events such as Lutherans on the Hill. Let us pray. We pray for the physical, emotional, and financial needs of our members and visitors today, and particularly for the persons listed in our bulletin this morning. We remember Baby Reese and Carrie Sue Johnson, and also Rolf, family of Mary Ann, Michaela, Norma, Ione, Carolyn, and Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Americas. Josephine and Ames. Let us pray. Merciful God, you hear our prayers even before we speak them. Receive them for the sake of the one through whom you have revealed your goodness, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The God of glory dwell in you richly, name you beloved, and shine brightly on your path. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace. Be the light of Christ.
Thanks be to God.